Lake Effect returns now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Election day is exactly 2 months away as of this morning. The Wisconsin governor's race and elections in several key legislative districts will dominate the headlines. Most of the issues that will likely determine the outcome of the election involve job creation and the direction of the economy. But there are some in the state who hope that, even if it's not a campaign issue, the idea of medical malpractice reform will gain traction in this state in the coming months. Advocates for reform say the current law arbitrarily limits who has standing to sue for damages. Among those making that argument are Ann Jacobs, a Milwaukee attorney and incoming president of an organization called the Wisconsin Association for Justice, and Eric Rice of Gresham, Wisconsin, who shared his story with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke.
The medical system failed in several respects. One was in misdiagnosis, which was caused by poor communication among doctors, as well as incompetence by one particular doctor, and some errors and omission by several others.
And this took place, do I have it right? This took place about 15 years ago, is that right?
Yeah.
And your daughter was being treated for, was it pneumonia?
Well, Aaron had a cough and some shortness of breath symptoms. And we were concerned, so we went in to the primary care doctor, and her doctor was not available. We went and saw a substitute. That doctor sent us to the UW emergency room, and then the emergency room doctor misdiagnosed her with bacterial pneumonia. And he did not take an echocardiogram. He did take an EKG and an X-ray, which both showed significant abnormality, including a large heart that was 2 to 3 times normal size, and did not tell us. And then sent us home with antibiotics, and then 2 weeks later, she died in heart failure.
And so what is it in Wisconsin law that prevents you from essentially airing this complaint in court?
Well, what happened, when I finally figured out what happened, some of the level of knowledge, I got some professional opinions from some doctors, and they basically explained to me how bad it was, how bad the diagnosis was. And then I tried to find attorneys to take a case, and no one would take the case. And the reason was Erin was 20 years old. She was older than 18, and in Wisconsin, parents cannot get a wrongful death claim for their child if the child is 18 or older. And so we couldn't find an attorney. And finally, through friends, I filed a notice of claim and did some things and had to basically fund a lawsuit on my own for Aaron's pain and suffering, knowing that we couldn't get a loss of society claim. And it cost me money, but I was determined to find out the truth. How could this have happened? And that's the reason we did it, was not to penalize anybody, but if there was a wrongdoer, we wanted that doctor not practicing anymore, and we wanted to find out the truth, and so this would never happen again to some other family.
And that, I'm sure, is the rub that a lot of people, when they hear about malpractice cases, have. They wonder how you could put a dollar amount on someone's pain and suffering, but you would make the contention that it's not really about the money at all?
No, but you can't get an attorney to go with you to court because it's not a business case for attorneys, and I can understand that.
And Jacobs, you would make the point that Eric Rice's case is not unique in this state. Where does Wisconsin fall when it comes to malpractice?
His case is not unique. Wisconsin's law that prevents families that have been hurt by medical malpractice from bringing claims on behalf of their adult children or widowed parents is a law that is pretty unique throughout the country. It's an outlier. There really isn't a good explanation of why we would have a law that treats an 18-year-old as if the parents no longer love that child, as if the parents no longer hold in their heart their adult child. And it's stunning that there is this complete lack of a willingness to assign responsibility and accountability to the people who cause harm simply because they're over 18, or if they're an elderly parent, because they don't have a living spouse. And that's what Wisconsin's law does right now.
And this is not a new law.
This is not a new law. This has been over the course of well over 20 years, this law has been morphing. And as cases are decided, it's become clear that this gap for the ability to bring a medical malpractice case for single adults with no children exists. And unfortunately, the legislature has not risen up to change that.
Of course, the argument goes that many lawyers won't take malpractice cases in Wisconsin, as Eric Rice says, because of the limitations on what plaintiffs can expect. There have likewise been arguments on the other side that say, you know, doctors are discouraged from practicing in places where they believe the malpractice deck is stacked against them. How do you view the balance between protecting the rights of patients and their families and not inhibiting doctors afraid of an over-litigious culture?
Well, I think that doctors have been sold an unfortunate bill of goods if they believe that Wisconsin has a litigious medical malpractice community. Last year, if you look at the statistics, it's estimated that somewhere between 4,000 and 8,000 people were killed in Wisconsin due to medical malpractice. And we know this because you can look at nationwide statistics and Medicare and the like to sort of come up with those numbers. Last year, only 140 cases of medical malpractice were filed. And it's not that Wisconsin doctors are unusually adept and therefore not engaging in malpractice. It's simply that we have taken our judicial system and so warped it that the people who are seeking justice, responsibility, and accountability like the Rice family are shut out of the courthouse doors by virtue of Wisconsin's law. That penalizes not only the families who have to endure the tragic loss of loved ones, it also penalizes us as taxpayers because the people who cause harm aren't held accountable. And yet we frequently, in the forms of care, continuing medical services and the like, pay for that through Medicaid, Medicare, and other programs that otherwise those burdens would be shifted to the wrongdoer.
Now, there is something called the state's Injured Patients and Families Compensation Fund, and that would make it seem as though there is money for patients and their families who believe they've been injured to recover something. Why does that surface as a key issue in this situation?
The interesting thing about that is that it's a great name for a fund, and that fund has over a billion, with a B, dollars in it available to pay injured persons. However, that fund has turned into a fighting the plaintiff fund. And when you have $1 billion to play with, there isn't a case you can't litigate to the ends of the earth. There isn't an expert you can't buy. There isn't a person you can't fly in from the four corners of the planet to advocate on your behalf, regardless of right or wrong of the cause. So that fund, which is supposed to help the injured people of the state of Wisconsin, is instead a slush fund being used to fund medical malpractice defense and do everything they can to not pay injured persons.
Eric Rice, how would you contend things ought to change? How should things begin, and how would you like to see the situation unraveled?
Well, there was a bill called the Family Justice Bill that's been up many times before the legislature, and it basically needs to get passed by Republicans and Democrats alike and signed by the governor. It's as simple as that. And I don't know how many arguments can be made. We've made them over the years, and people say, legislators say, well, that's a good thing, you know, and then nothing happened. So we need to find a champion. I've tried to get Governor Walker to jump on our side and basically sponsor this and support it, and I have yet to have a good response from him yet.
Has he or his office responded at all?
I've got one letter back, and I sent another letter, and I'm still waiting to hear.
Ann Jacobs, do you think it's appropriate to have any limitations at all on when family members can seek damages? Should the parents of a 40-year-old have standing, say?
Well, that's an interesting question and one that's raised a lot. And what most people don't realize is that in Wisconsin, if you're in a car accident, the people who can bring the claim are the people who would have a right to recover from you by in probate. So if you're a single adult age 40 and you have no children, no spouse, then the next people in line are your parents. And after that would be your siblings and so on. And if you think about it, that makes sense. If you don't have a spouse, if you don't have children, your parents are your next of kin. And frankly, I'm certain there isn't a person listening out there who is a parent, whether their child is 40, 20, 18, or 75, who wouldn't feel that the loss of the child before the parent isn't the most devastating event a parent can endure. So right now we have those limitations of who can sue and when, and there's no reason not to use that same limitation in medical malpractice. You know, it's interesting. We recently, as a nation, had a federal law change that said that children can stay on their parents' insurance until 26. And I think that's a recognition of the fact that how we look at our children and the relationship we have with our children doesn't end magically at 18. And if anything, they're directly a part of us until 26. And I would submit that I don't think any parent ever thinks that their child isn't one of the most important beings on the planet their whole lifetime.
So in short, you're saying that the differential between an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old, we're not talking about a dependency relationship here. We're simply talking about, you know, the idea that a parent loves his or her children.
That's what goes to the heart of a loss of society and companionship claim. It is that hole in your heart that exists when your child dies, and the desire to see the person who did that brought to justice, held responsible, and made accountable for their actions, or even as Mr. Rice said, making sure it doesn't happen again. How do we prevent bad things from happening again if we don't hold people responsible?
And I could at the same time hear the skeptics probably throw the question back at you, how do you make this change without suddenly putting up a sign, at least in some people's eyes, that says now the door is open to thousands and thousands of lawsuits?
Well, I think thousands and thousands would be probably a pretty profound exaggeration. The idea that doctors would be thinking that it's okay for their colleagues to engage in malpractice that kills people with impunity, I'm certain for the vast majority of doctors out there who are good and hardworking advocates for their patients is something they could never stomach. People who do negligent things should be held responsible. If a doctor runs through a stoplight and crashes and kills your 20-year-old child, that person is held responsible. Why that wouldn't be the case when it involves medical malpractice, there's no philosophical or logical reason.
Well, Ann Jacobs and Eric Rice, thank you so much for helping shed some light on this subject. And Eric Rice, I know it's been a long time, but I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch.
Eric Rice is from Gresham, Wisconsin, and Ann Jacobs is a Milwaukee attorney and the incoming president of an organization called the Wisconsin Association for Justice, which advocates for medical malpractice law reform here. They spoke with Mitch Tyke. Lake Effect also sought comment on the issue from the Wisconsin Medical Society, an association of physicians in the state, but we did not receive a response before the deadline for today's show. A new book about an important 20th century German industrial artist who worked for the Nazi regime hopes to add historical context and understanding to his life and work. We'll find out more when Lake Effect continues next on Milwaukee Public Radio.